And with that, we are live. It is almost right at 5 o'clock, but I need to make sure that this video is the places that it needs to be and the times that it needs to be places. So thank you for joining us. There we go. I do have audio. That was my first test. If you would do me a favor, do two things. One, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. And verse number 16, as we will begin our Live at 5 series here in just a minute, we're going to be studying a topic called Walk as Children of Light. That's the first thing I would humbly ask you to do. It will greatly aid and assist you in our study of God's Word. The second thing I might humbly ask you to do is just simply share this video, because there are things that people need to know. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the one speaking, but we're going to talk about the gospel. We're going to talk about life-saving information. And so I want you to be a part of that, and I want you to help other people as well. Pardon me while I share this to the Facebook page at the Wood Church of Christ. It's where I'm honored to be the pulpit minister. Live at 5, walk as children. If I don't do this out loud, if you've watched some of the videos, I will forget what I'm trying to say. Walk as children of light has an I in it. All right. Now that that is shared, and it is 5 o'clock up and down, let us begin our study. Walk as children of light. The scripture text is taken from Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, where Jesus Christ says, and he's just finished the Beatitudes and talking at the introductory material of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." I want us to study tonight the topic of walking, or walk as children of light. Now, I am privileged to be a part of Short Mountain Bible Camp. This year, if everything works out all right, it will be my 15th year at camp. See, is that right? Yep, 5 as a camper, and then this will be my 10th year as a counselor. And I'm honored that I get to be one of the speakers. That was always kind of a goal growing up, being a camper there. Was I always wanted to be one of the main speakers at the night or in the morning, however the case may be. And so the theme and for the 2018 Bible camp was light. And so I usually have the Thursday morning lesson kind of summing it all up. And so my lesson I was assigned was Walk as Children of Light. They gave me three verses, I should say, that they said, make sure you incorporate this. You may write your sermon however. And I love it when somebody gives me a topic, and I love it when somebody gives me three verses, because then I know, boom, 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 those are my scripture, or those are my main points. So let us walk as children of light. And first off, I have taken a screenshot there, and if maybe it might be a little blurry there, that last line, but don't worry about it. What I did was I looked up the word walk in an English dictionary. And I know you're thinking, we know what to walk means. I know, but let's just look at it. Walk means to move at a regular or a fairly slow pace by lifting and setting down, 1 foot each in turn, never having both feet off the ground at the same time. That, no, maybe you may have never looked up the word walk, but you put 1 foot in front of the other, simple as that. But if you look it up biblically, to walk, biblically speaking, it's often used to denote a man's mode or a man's way, a life of a man, or it may denote his spiritual character. Now, there's a prerequisite to walking as children of light, and we find that that is baptism. What is prerequisite? Here's your word for the night. Pre meaning before. Requisite, your root word is require. So something must be done. Something is required before you can do this. Friends, you must be baptized. A New Testament Christian. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. And then I also want to mention Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Probably the most quoted verse in the book of Amos. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We know that if you and I were walking, and you were on my left, and I was on your right, and we want to go to the door, and the door is in front of us, if you go left and I go straight, only one of us is going to make it to the door. Friends, we must walk together, and we know ultimately we must walk with God, or we must walk with Christ. So let us look at 3 points this evening as we walk as children of light. And our first one is found in Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. Flip there with me, if you will. Run that reference. Paul says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. He says, walk as children of light. Friends, Paul here is going to talk about the former life versus your new life. You used to be a sinner, but now you're alive in Christ. And friends, we're living that new life. Look at verse 11, though. Because Paul says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, you've put on Christ, you are a New Testament Christian. You have died to that old life of sin. It stayed there in that watery grave of baptism, and you've come out a new creature. He says, you're not going to go back and live that old life again. You're just simply not going to do it. He says, you need to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works, no fellowship with darkness. Friends, we are to walk in the light, not to walk in the darkness. Friends, the old man is dead. We live as a new man. Go back a chapter to Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24 with me, if you would. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul says you need to put on the new man and leave that old man there. He talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is made better. Friends, we're made better by becoming a Christian. And then repetitively, we're made better as we continue to walk as children of light. But one other passage I want us to examine here on this one is go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Because as we're told to walk as children of light, that means we're not going to walk in the ways of darkness, in the ways of wickedness. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 is an awful long laundry list of sins. Watch this. Know ye not, verse 9, that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Your key verse there is verse number 11. And we mentioned in our lesson this morning some things that I had underlined in my copy of God's Word. You may want to underline something here in verse 11 because I have the third word in verse 11 underlined where Paul says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. Now, I'm the son of an English teacher, so I have grammar literally drilled into my head. And I'm thankful for that at times. Other times when I see incorrect grammar, it kind of just makes my skin crawl like fingernails on a chalkboard. Sorry for that visual if that really bothers you. But I want you to note here, every time I see the word were, I instantly think past tense. And such were some of you. Were there drunkards in Corinth? Used to be. Were there effeminate? Were there abusers of themselves of mankind? Were there extortioners? Were there revilers? Yes, there used to be people that were doing awful things in Corinth. But guess what? Such underlined were some of you because that no longer denotes their current way in life. Such were some of you, but you're washed, sanctified, justified through Jesus Christ and through our Lord. Friends, when we walk as children of light, we may used to have a wicked, awful life, but as we're now walking as children of light, that old man no longer matters because we need to leave that old man in the grave. We must leave that old man in the grave. Let's go to my favorite passage in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4. I love this passage, and if you've heard me preach, you've probably noticed I go there a handful of times. So relevant. Paul, when he is writing to those in Rome, I like to equate it, if you ever heard the great James Watkins speak, or watched his television programs used to come on, or watch him on YouTube. I love hearing Brother Watkins. Maybe you hear him or have heard him at some point. Whenever he would change topics or he would change points, Brother Watkins would ask a rhetorical question, and then he would immediately answer it. That's kind of the way that Paul outlines Romans. Watch this, because he's going to start out chapter 6 with a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There's your question. It's rhetorical. What's your answer? God forbid, verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice, we have been raised to what, Paul? To walk as children of light. Shall we continue to sin just so we can be forgiven by God's grace? Paul says, no, if you do that, you're missing the point. Here in our context, when we leave that old man in the grave, friends, you wouldn't go out to the cemetery and go dig up a loved one that is dead, because it's bones, or depending on how long they've been gone, there may be literally nothing in that spot anymore. Friends, we leave that old life of sin there in the grave. So point number one, as we walk as children of light, that's really our lesson text as well, Ephesians 5:8. Number two this evening, we are the light. We are the light. Now, we've already looked at Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want you to note there, Jesus Christ doesn't say, shine your light so others may see. There's a big difference. If you and I are out in the middle of the woods and we are frog gigging and we're trying to find, I'm giving you an example, it's never going to happen, no offense. But if we're out there and we're trying to find a pond, and you say to me, hey, Justin, shine your light towards me. I think I'm about to step in the pond. I'm going to take my flashlight and shine it your way. I am shining it. I am doing something that's causing that light to shine. Friends, when we let our light so shine before men, we are living the life of Christian. Now, I know people, and I hope you don't know them, but I know some people who they'll give to a charitable organization or they'll help somebody in need, especially right now. And then they'll say, hey, look, I'm a Christian. Look at all the great things I've just done. I've done this, I've done that. Friends, that's not letting your light shine. That is showing people where it is. We need to let our light so shine before men. So when we talk about we are the light, well, first off, we need to talk about Jesus the Christ. In John 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. One of the seven I am statements that Jesus Christ gives, and John adds some commentary to that in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, where John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Watch verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Friends, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he came to shine his light in this world of darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend him. How do I know that? Besides the fact that John tells me they hung Jesus Christ on the cross. They didn't comprehend him. Of course, they were ultimately fulfilling God's plan. But the world did not comprehend Christ. I want you to know what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul says, be ye imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Now, Paul is not saying, hey, look, I am Paul. I am so great. Follow me because I am Paul. No, friends. Paul is saying, follow me because I'm trying to be my best to be like Jesus Christ. When I think about imitating, especially in the context of 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, I always think about maybe a young child, a little boy who's at worship, and he's really starting to put his spatial recognition together, not facial, but spatial. And he's starting to notice all these different things, and then you have a man who gets up and does a wonderful job with your announcements, and then your song leader comes up, and your song leader opens the book and says 536. And what does your song leader start doing? He'll start beating out the music, the notation, trying to make sure everybody is on the same beat, on the same tempo, and making a joyful noise to the Lord. Why are we talking about this? What's your little kid going to do in the row next to you if you're not watching? Well, he's going to start moving his little hand, maybe even two hands. He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea that the song leader is trying to keep everybody on the same note. But the little boy, he's just going to town. Why? Because he's imitating what he's seeing. Paul says, I am imitating Jesus Christ. You can follow me. Don't be Paul. Be Paul imitating Jesus Christ. Friends, we need to imitate Jesus Christ. We need to do our best to look, act, think like Christ. That's what Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 5 and following. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are we going to be Christ? No. Why? Because Christ was perfect. We're not. Even the best person you know is not perfect. But I tell you what, we can do our very best to live as close to thus saith the Lord as possible. Also on this one, I want us to think about a lighthouse. In particular, I'm going to use a specific lighthouse because I've been there. Let's talk about the Pensacola Lighthouse. They're not paying for this. I wouldn't take payment for this, but there's a great illustration in this. That's the Pensacola Lighthouse there, if you've never seen it. That's in Pensacola, Florida, in case you're wondering. Been by the Pensacola Lighthouse many times because right next to it is the National Museum of Naval Aviation. You may not be familiar with that, but if you've ever heard of the Blue Angels, that wonderful airplane group where they fly out and do all sorts of maneuvers and they're flying within 6 inches of each other's wings, and it is just so cool. They're based out of Pensacola at the National Museum. Well, they're at the naval base next to it, but they're right there, and they have them there. All the historic planes of our United States Navy are at that museum. It's on the naval base, which is really cool, and it's a free museum. I recommend going to it if you have time. It's really great when you're at the beach and it's raining because it's an indoor museum. I have been on President Nixon's Air Force One, all sorts of cool stuff they have there. I recommend it. Anyways, across the street, you can't miss it. It's the Pensacola Lighthouse. So we went, Mom and Dad and I, when we were there one time. There is 177 steps that go from the bottom to the top. I know. Because Dad and I took those steps, and I counted. And I'm not going to lie, it seemed a lot more coming down than it did going up. So we climbed these 177 steps, and we're up at the top, and we're looking out, and over here is the Pensacola Bay, and over here is the Naval Museum and the Naval Base, and you can see all the main highways because you're up so high. And so, me, because I'm nosy, I don't know if you know that, I am nosy. I will ask questions because I want to know an answer. They have a person that is stationed at the top of that. And that person welcomed you, thanked you for making the climb to the top, and they said, if you have any questions, ask. It's my favorite phrase because I start asking. And I said, so how far out does this light shine? And that person told me, and I wish I could remember that wonderful person's name, but that person told me that the light at the Pensacola Lighthouse shines out for 27 miles. Now, I thought that was kind of a very random number. Oh, here's your little graphic showing you it shining out. You can see, let's do that again in case you missed it. There it goes. I said, well, why 27? Seems like a random number. And I could tell they were waiting on me to ask that follow-up question. And they said, well, that's because the earth curves at 25 miles out. You know, the earth is a sphere. And so 25 miles out is when you can noticeably start measuring that curve. And so when the light shines in a straight line for 27 miles, it goes above and beyond the call of duty. So as soon as you are on a ship And as the earth curves, of course, you're still moving straight. You don't realize the earth is curving, but all of a sudden, in the distance, you can see there's something. And then once that ship starts to level out, and it is in that mile, that 25-mile straightness, you have ample time to be warned there is land ahead. Why are we talking about this when we talk about how you are the light, friends? Jesus Christ says, "Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What's the point? Friends, the Pensacola Lighthouse goes 2 miles beyond what it has to. Friends, we must go above and beyond the call of duty as Christians. We're told to do as much as we can, and even at the end of the day, we're still an unprofitable servant, but we're told to do as much as we possibly can, and I'm afraid that too many people, they've set what they think they can do so low. We can do a lot for the cause of Christ, but we need to be doing it. Friends, you never know who's watching you. It may be a sibling, a parent, a boss, a teacher, a co-worker, a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever the situation may be. Friends, you never know who's watching you. A phrase, I'm sure you've heard it. The statement goes, you may be the only Bible a person ever reads. Somebody may not own a copy of God's Word, or they may own it but never read it. But they may see you out and about in the community, and they say, well, I know he's a member of the Church of Christ, and then maybe they put the physical location in there as well for me. Then people say, well, I know he's a member there at the Wood Church of Christ. Or they go to you and they say, well, I know she's a member. I know this, that, or the other. They're going to base their opinion on God's Word depending on how you live your life. You know, there's a song we sing in our songbooks called Watching You. And it goes, all along on the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake, there's an eye watching you. Then the chorus, watching you every day, mind the course you pursue. Watching you, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. Verse 2, as you make life's great fight, keep the pathway right, there's an eye watching you. God will warn not to go in the path of the foe, there's an eye watching you. The chorus in the third verse, fix your mind on the goal, the sweet home of the soul, there's an eye watching you. Never turn from the way to the kingdom of day, there's an eye watching you. Friends, we may never know who's watching us, but I guarantee you one person that is. That's God Almighty, the Father in heaven. Friends, we are to be the light. We are to imitate Christ. We need to let our light so shine that God may get the benefit. Not to look how good he is or look how good she is, but that God gets the ultimate benefit. Our final passage I want us to draw some main point thoughts from is 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. That's what I was assigned in making this lesson. But we're going to go ahead and read that all in its context, because that's where many people in the world today fall on, is they take verses out of context. So we're going to back up, read the entirety of the first chapter of 1 John, and bleed over into the second chapter. So join with me here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ. Verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie not, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Friends, what is John getting at here in the first, really, the first 20% of 1 John? He says that there is no darkness in God. Verse 5. There is no darkness in God. And friends, since there's no darkness in God, there should be no darkness in us. You see that correlation there? There should not be darkness in us because there is no darkness in God. Go back with me there to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. I want you to note something here. Watch what Peter calls us. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peculiar, different, set apart. You ready for this? And this is in all capital letters, which means I'm yelling, I am raising my voice, if you will. Friends, we cannot look like the world and be pleasing to God. You know the old expression, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it is a duck. Friends, there are too many people who call themselves Christians, but they act like the world and they think like the world. Friends, we cannot be pleasing to God and look like the world, think like the world, act like the world, smell like the world, taste like the world, live like the world. And that's not Justin Reed being rude to you. That's Justin Reed trying to get a point across to some people who need to hear it because he deeply cares for their souls. We cannot act like the world and expect for God to say, well, you know what? It was okay. He has called us to be a holy nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We cannot be like the world if we want to please God. Now, the question is, if you want to please God, don't look like the world, but if you could care less God's opinion and you could care less about spending an eternity in eternal damnation separated between you and your God, then act like the world. Go right ahead. The choice is yours. I'm making the choice for me, and I'm going to live as thus saith the Lord. But let's keep going, because Jesus Christ has shown us the way. John 14:6, we're familiar with this passage. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or except through me. Now, when Jesus Christ says the way, the truth, the life, he is being definite. For instance, as you can see here in this video, if I said, here is the microphone, I have removed, without a shadow of a doubt, which microphone I'm talking about, because, spoiler alert, there are a handful of microphones in this room. But I'm talking about this purple one. Yes, it is purple. This purple and black one that is here right in front of me. If I said, here is a piece of paper, or grab me a piece of paper, there's hundreds of pieces of paper, because this is, my desk is right over there. You could grab me another, but if I said, grab me the piece of paper on the top, I have been specific, friends. Jesus Christ is specific when he says, I am the way, only one way. The truth, only one truth. The life, only one life. One of the songs we sing frequently, where he leads, I'll follow. Also, he the great example is in pattern for me. Friends, we need to be like Noah. Noah followed a pattern to a T, and it saved the world. 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 20. We also sing many songs about following him. Beautiful song, Follow Me. I want you to note something here that happened at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I love the way that Mark puts it here. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Look at this. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, that's Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets, and they followed him. Pause. You see what happened? Jesus Christ gives the call to Peter and Andrew, says, Come follow me. What do? They throw their nets down. They leave everything. Let's keep going. And when Jesus had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in the ship with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And what do? They leave their family behind. They leave Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and they follow Christ. Friends, these are people that they left their well-paying, secure jobs to follow Christ. Are you willing to leave that old world of sin behind as we walk in the light? What about us? We know Matthew 16:24, let a man deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. I like the way Luke adds to it. And Luke 9:23, Luke adds the word daily. This is a thing that I must do on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and start over. And you must do that as well. Friends, it is a daily commitment. If you want to live for God, you do it on a daily basis. We say the phrase, we take it one day at a time, and that's so true. Friends, how do we follow Jesus today? We've hinted at it. We mentioned it at the beginning of our lesson. We're going to mention it here because either you may not be truly following Jesus or you may know somebody who's not. And here's life-saving information. He's given the invitation, Revelation 22:17, the Spirit, the bride and spirit, they say, come. We must hear, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe, Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be damned or condemned. John 8:24, Jesus says, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. We must repent, Luke 13:3, also verse 5, Jesus says both times, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. He says it twice, that's important. You think about it in school, when a teacher says something and they say it twice, it's important. Christ has said twice in three verses, repent or perish. We must confess by the mouth, Matthew 10:32-33, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If we do, he will confess us. If we deny him, he conversely will also deny us. And then upon that confession, once again, Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, submitting to him by faithful obedience. And then we are to remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, I'll give thee a crown of life. And then you go back and you repent if there's wrong in your life. Do we follow Jesus today? I saw this on a church sign, and it stuck with me, and I hope that it sticks with you as well. It says, try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil will take you back. Friend, Satan is chomping at the bit, so to speak, to take you back. But we must remain faithful to him. Do not end this day without following Jesus and without walking as children of light. Now, normally, we would have an invitation song prepared, and we would sing it, stand, and if you needed something, you'd come forward. But that's kind of impossible through a video screen, but I tell you what, if you are in need of spiritual assistance, please send me a message. I would love to assist you, or I'd love to put you in contact with somebody maybe closer to you, either physically or spiritually, personally to you than I am. Or maybe you haven't been living right. You put on Christ in baptism. Maybe you haven't been living. Maybe you haven't been walking as children of light. Maybe you haven't been the light. Maybe you haven't lived up to that commitment. You need to repent, rededicate yourself, ask for forgiveness, ask for prayers as well. These are spiritual matters, and they are so important to your life and to mine. But I can only answer for me, and you can only answer for you. Friends, I have enjoyed our time here together. As you can see in the link above me, the notes for this and the PowerPoint, which is a few more graphics that didn't show up very well in the video, but you're not missing anything. They're all available for you anytime you want them at no charge on my website. The link is above me here in the video description. I hope I will see you again Wednesday night. We're going to continue our midweek Bible study. We're doing it at 6:30. If you watch it live, that's to afford you the opportunity to maybe hit two or three Bible studies. I know most of them run about 30, 35 minutes. A lot of people start at 6, a lot of people start at 7, so we start at 6:30 there in the middle. We're going to begin a two-week study. We're going to look at the fiery furnace this week, Lord willing. Next week we'll look at Daniel in the lion's den. Also then on Thursday night at 6:30 as well, team up with my father-in-law, Bill Boyd. And we are going to finish out Matthew 16 and also begin Matthew 17. So once again, I thank you for being here. If you didn't at the beginning of the lesson, please share this. There are people who need to hear this. And it's as simple as clicking share. You could help somebody be spiritually right today. Thank you for watching. going to leave you now as I end my radio programs and been ending these videos with a passage from Numbers chapter 6, where the Bible says, may the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. And please, continue to pray. Thank you for watching.